Welcome to the Camera Dojo Podcast, the official podcast of CameraDojo.com. Welcome back, everybody. This is episode 16 for September 24th, 2008, and I'm your host, Kerry Garrison. Today, I'm here by myself because everybody is out shooting, and I'm in a hurry to actually get to a wedding before I take off for Phoenix, Arizona for a week where it's nice and 100 degrees out there, so I'll be sweating like crazy. But we got a lot of news, a lot of interesting stuff that's happened this week, and I wanted to make sure I got a podcast out to tell you all about it. So as soon as we get back from the break, we'll get started. This episode of Camera Dojo is sponsored by Lens Babies. For that extra romantic or dramatic feel to your images, nothing beats a Lens Babies lens. Go to lensbabies.com. Probably the most exciting thing this particular week, which is why I'm going to start off with it, is Lightroom 2.1 release candidate. So I know 2.0 came out and everyone's really excited about it, and many of us have been using it, and it's made a huge difference in our workflow. It's made a huge difference in how we work, how we don't have to go into Photoshop for anything anymore. But there were a few little glitches here and there, but nothing that really stopped me from using it. A few people said, oh, let's all just wait for a .1 release. Well, the .1 release is imminent, and it does fix a number of things. There were some crash bugs in the web module if you were using Windows Vista 64. Sometimes selecting a camera profile and auto white balance would just cause it to hang. Some preference files pointing to missing catalogs could prevent Lightroom from progressing past the registration dialog. Errors with virtual copies. Dialogs that would show up on a second monitor even if that monitor was disabled, which is kind of a problem. Things with image counts. Problems with the camera calibration profiles, some memory leaks in the library and develop modules, which would decrease performance, and because those are the two modules you use the most, you would see the performance of Lightroom 2 just degrade over time until you finally just got fed up with it and you'd have to go and restart. So that appears to be fixed. There were also problems with folder synchronizing, and that seems to be fixed. A handful of issues with keywords and metadata are fixed. And some people, if you would switch over to Photoshop, things just didn't work quite right. And there's probably 6 or 7 bugs that have been fixed in how Photoshop and Lightroom interoperate. And a bunch of things with certain ORF files, which are the Olympus files, problems with several Nikon files, problems with lights out mode, and a lot of other little things. They've also added support for the Fuji FinePix IS Pro, the Nikon D700, the Nikon D90, and the Nikon Coolpix P6000. Now, they do say that they are trying to fix some more issues with performance of the local correction tool, which is probably the single biggest complaint, is the performance of that. So maybe we'll see another update here pretty soon. It's a sure bet there's going to be a 2.2 in the near future because they need to add support for the Canon 5D Mark II, the Canon 50D, probably the G10, and whatever other cameras are coming out this week at Photokina. So look for 2.1 to come out soon, and then if you've got one of the newer cameras that aren't supported yet, well, you probably don't have them because they were just released, but if you're looking at those new cameras, you might want to make sure that the Lightroom is compatible when you get it. So go to labs.adobe.com to check into that. Now, there's a bunch of other software releases this week. Apple released Camera Raw 2.2. Adobe has released Camera Raw 4.6 release candidate, and this is going to be the same as Lightroom with adding the support for the new cameras. Leica M8 has released firmware 2.0, and the Sony Alpha has new firmware as well. So if you've got any of those cameras or pieces of software, you might want to look into getting those upgrades. Now, yesterday we put out a new video tutorial called the Lightroom Web Gallery module, where we go through how to use the web gallery in Lightroom 2.0. A bunch of people had asked about that, so that's on CameraDojo.com. And the big news for a lot of us wedding photographers is the Canon EOS 5D Mark II. This is a killer, killer camera. I am really looking forward to taking a better look at this thing and seeing exactly what it can do. But so far, we're seeing that it's got a 21 megapixel full-frame CMOS sensor, DIGIC 4 processor, ISO range of 100 to 6400, with expandable ISO to 12,800 and even 25,600. It's going to be interesting to see exactly how good this camera can perform with those super high ISO ranges. But it's got the next generation DIGIC 4 processor, as I said, so it's got great detail, color reproduction, some better dynamic range, and better performance. It does 3.9 frames per second continuous shooting with a durability on the shutter of 150,000 cycles, and it's got some new weather-resistant stuff on the body. It's got a live view function for stills with quick, live, and face detection autofocus modes. So that's kind of nice, live view with autofocus. And it does video, and not just video. This thing does 1080p video. So total HD performance in this thing. Now, I don't think people are going to be going around shooting their movies with this camera. But think of a wedding photographer going in. They're taking some stills here and there, but every once in a while they grab just a few seconds of video. And when you deliver a slideshow to your customer and it has a nice zoom in of the weddings or the rings, or it's got some other nice panning effect or a pan across the crowd, and it's just kind of interlaced with the stills that you did, that's going to add a huge, huge touch to your final product that you're delivering. So that's really interesting. So if you're at all interested in the Canon EOS 5D Mark II, we have that on the website. A couple other cameras that were announced were the PowerShot G10 IS from Canon, which is their next generation point-and-shoot camera. This thing, I mean, this thing's crazy. 14.7 megapixel built-in image stabilization. It's got a 28 millimeter wide-angle lens, the DIGIC 4 processor, 3-inch pure color LCD 2 screen. This thing is just insane for a point-and-shoot. I mean, it's not going to be cheap, but man, if you want a point-and-shoot that is virtually better than most of the DSLRs out there, I mean, this Canon G10 is definitely the way to go. Canon also has a new camera in their kind of their consumer line that, you know, that compact format. It's bigger than a point-and-shoot but smaller than a DSLR, and that is the SX1 IS. So this is a consumer-grade camera, but it also does the 1080p video. So this is going to be a crazy camera for people getting started, whether you want to do movie making or whether you want to do just shooting or walking around. This is a great vacation camera because you can do both video and stills on this thing. It's 10 megapixels. It's got the CMOS sensor, full HD at 1080p, 30 frames per second with HDMI output. I mean, you hook this thing right up to your monitor. It's a crazy. Shooting modes include full manual control. It's got the face detection, face select, track, face self timer. A lot of stuff to make sure you get pictures of faces really, really well. Targets every possible cause of blur with high ISO auto, optical image stabilization, motion detection technology, and servo autofocus. So if you get poor quality images with this thing, you are seriously doing something wrong. So this is going to be a really, really interesting camera for people. That's the Canon PowerShot SX1 IS. So that's the hardware that we've seen so far. Now this week that I'm recording this and that this podcast is coming out is Photokina. And this is the world's largest camera show. It only happens every other year. So expect to see a lot more news over the next week. I'm going to be out of town, but I'm going to try and stay up on it and get stuff posted to CameraDojo.com as quickly as I can. Now, another interesting article that we posted that we think a lot of people could benefit from is the Sunny 16 rule in photography. Now, some of you may have heard of it, and what we do is we try and explain how this works a little bit. Because what we've talked about in the past is trying to get good starting points for making sure that you've got a good exposure. The Sunny 16 rule tells you that on a bright sunny day, if you set your camera for F16, which is the Sunny 16 part, F16, then whatever your ISO is set to, you set your shutter speed to match to make sure you get a good exposure. So on a bright sunny day, F16, if you're shooting ISO 100 and your shutter speed is 1/100th of a second, 1/100th, ISO 100, so the reciprocal, you should get a really good exposure. By the same token, if you're using F16, ISO 200, then you move up your shutter speed to 1/200th. So using this as a basis, we can formulate some different calculations for what is going to give us a good exposure. So if we're using the same Sunny 16 rule, and we're sunny, again, F16, if we have a little bit of overcast, we can go up to F11, a little more overcast, move to F8, heavier overcast, 5-6, maybe sunset, we're going to be down at F4. If now we run out of aperture, now we have to start adjusting things like bumping up our ISO a little more. If that doesn't work, we have to slow down our shutter. But using the Sunny 16 rule is definitely going to get you closer to getting a good exposure on the first shot. If you missed it, last week I was a guest on the Digital Photography Show. This is one of my favorite podcasts out there from Michael Stein and Scott Sherman. They do a great job of talking about the latest news and doing a lot of interviews with people. And I'm going to be doing a regular spot on there to talk about new products, tutorials, and things like that. So I really want you to check out their podcast. If you listen to mine, you're probably going to like theirs. That's digifoto.thepodcastnetwork.com. And again, all links to all this stuff is going to be in the show notes. So be sure and check it out at the Digital Photography Show. I think you'll probably enjoy their podcast. Make sure you come to the Camera Dojo forums. Let's build a community there. If you have questions about any of the articles, be sure and ask. If you need help with your photography, don't hesitate to ask about something like that. If you have general comments, let's build the Camera Dojo community together. This is Kerry Garrison. You can reach me at l7studios.com, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.